And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is vigilance. Each of my guests is discussing the need to be vigilant, whether it's in city government, in geopolitics, or as an investor. My next guest is a former Securities and Exchange Commissioner enforcer. He'll teach us how to fraud-proof our investments from his book titled The Vigilant Investor. And if you have questions or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Pat Huddleston is the CEO of Investors Watchdog LLC, which is an investment fraud investigation agency that conducts pre-investment investigations on brokers, RIAs, and unregistered investments. Pat Huddleston joined the Enforcement Division of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission way back in 1990 as an enforcement attorney. Less than 2 years later, he accepted a promotion to Enforcement Branch Chief, leading a team of enforcement attorneys in nationwide investigations. Since returning to private law practice, he has represented investors in securities litigation and arbitration. He currently serves as a court-appointed receiver in SEC fraud cases, cleaning up the mess left in the wake of collapse of those scams and working to recover assets for defrauded investors. His book, The Vigilant Investor, combines his experience representing investors, investigating insider trading, investor fraud, and brokerage firm misconduct. Welcome to the show, Pat. How are you today?
Thanks, Bill. I'm doing very well. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on board. And, of course, investor fraud got really thrust into the limelight with Bernie Madoff. He's the most recent and arguably the biggest con artist or flim-flam man that's been in financial schemes. But he's by no means alone. There was Charles Ponzi, who was made the Ponzi scheme famous. They, in fact, they named the Ponzi scheme after him. Ivar Kruger in Europe. My listeners may not know that, but you as an investigator would. He was known as the Match King in Europe in the late 19th century, early 20th century, and his scams actually helped stabilize governments in Europe after World War II, which I found very interesting. But the challenge for you as an investigator is that every time a scheme like this is exposed, it makes it harder to expose the next scheme. Why is that true?
You know what happens, Bill, is that these guys learn from each other. I mean, and a whole generation of scam artists has learned from Bernie Madoff. I say in the book, there's no doubt in scam artist families, the kids go to sleep to stories of Bernie Madoff rather than Babe Ruth, right? Dad says, hey, he changed the game. After him, nothing was ever the same. And the things that scam artists learned from Madoff were that you don't have to promise to double people's money every 90 days. Bernie Madoff's returns, the ones he reported, were not much higher than his competitors. Sometimes they weren't as high as his competitors in the hedge fund game, but they were suspiciously consistent, you see. And so what people have learned is that you don't have to promise the moon. In fact, only rookies or amateurs do it. At Investors Watchdog, we sort of restate the old axiom. We say, if it sounds too good to be true, you're talking to an amateur scam artist. Because everybody who's even competent at this game knows not to promise you something that sounds too good to be true. So people ask me all the time, what does an investment fraud look like? I tell them it looks exactly, to your eyes, it will look exactly like a perfectly legitimate investment.
All right, and that's a little bit frightening on a couple of levels. First of all, it looks legitimate to the average investor, and we'll come back and I want to talk about that in more detail. But the other part, the unsaid part of your answer there, Pat, was it seems like the criminals are smarter than the good guys. I mean, it doesn't give you a lot of hope that your good guys are always playing catch-up to the criminals. Is that true?
Well, I wouldn't say smarter, but you have to understand the limitations of the good guys, and I talk about that in the book as well. What I point out is that, you have to think about the regulators like homicide cops. You know, they get the call in the middle of the night, they duck under the crime scene tape and look at the scrambled nest egg under the sheet, and then they start to work. They go bring somebody to justice for this, but they can't unscramble your nest egg any more than the homicide cop can raise that dead body to life. You understand? They're post-violation enforcers, and your job as an investor is to make sure you never wind up under that sheet. Not that somebody gets brought to justice for stealing your retirement. You want to make sure it doesn't happen in the first instance. And the regulators, they do a lot of good work, because the scam they shut down today can't rob anybody tomorrow, but they cannot. They just don't have the tools to prevent scams from starting, you see. And so Yeah, I would say they're just as smart, but you know what the scam artists have going for them? It's not so much their brain as our brain. What I talk about in Chapter 1 is that we are pre-wired as healthy humans, just about pre-wired to fall for this. The CIA teaches its analysts and its officers about these things called cognitive biases. That is the way every healthy human brain operates. We have simplifying strategies that we're not even conscious of. Our brain works to bring every problem down to a manageable size so that we can deal with it. And along the way, relevant factors get tossed out, and we come down to a question that, you know, a good answer to might still lead us into trouble. And so I tell people, you know, don't be too impressed with these scam artists. They are, you know, clever and audacious, but their victims are doing all the heavy lifting. These things happen because of the wiring of healthy human brains, more so than the audacity of scam artists.
Well, Pat, coach us up, because we want to be aware of what some of these failings or these shortcomings that we have in our brains. You've got three biases that the human brain is naturally drawn to. What are those three biases?
Well, the first one I talk about is called the optimism bias. And usually pessimists say, well, I don't have to listen anymore. No, that's not the kind of optimism I'm talking about. As skeptical as you may be by nature, you are still optimistic enough to get out of your house and go out into a world full of germs and crime and teenage drivers. It's scary out there. But we all believe that nothing too terrible is going to happen to us today. We'll read about it, a disaster, or see one on TV, and our brain just works to separate us into a class of people to whom that can't happen. You see, and that hurts us in the investment context, because when you're sitting in front of somebody who's very well-spoken and is describing a profitable investment, the thought that they might cost you everything you worked and saved for never enters your mind, because you see you've already defined yourself as someone to whom these kinds of disasters don't happen. So that's the optimism bias. And you can't control it consciously. It's there behind everything you do, and it's very important to your life. You need to have it. But what I say in the book is you just have to recognize that in the investment context, you need to stop, slow down, and analyze what effect this bias is having on your thinking. Second one I talk about is the conformity bias. Psychologists and neuroscientists have proven that humans react to nonconformity, or the brain reacts to nonconformity as it would a punishment. It's almost sort of a mental sort of pain. If you're doing something and everybody else is doing something else, the brain reacts to that negatively. And so when you hear your people at church or your colleagues at work talking about this great investment, and you've been looking for one, they're talking about how great this thing is, the conformity bias tends to pull you towards that thing. And because you want to be part of the group. We're wired for relationship, wired for community, and that's terrific. It's a good thing. But in the investment context, you just have to slow down and analyze what effect is that bias having on my decision making. And then finally, we talk about the congruence bias, and this one is the scariest of all. The way the brain operates is anytime you encounter a new situation, and this happens many times every day, your brain automatically comes up with a theory to describe it, I mean to explain it. So if you are in the freeway and all of a sudden things grind to a halt, you automatically think of a theory. There's a wreck up ahead, right?
Right.
You don't think. Well, it could be an oil spill. It could be, you know, the president's in town and they're stopping traffic for that. You come up with a theory, and your brain is stubbornly tied to that theory. In the CIA training papers, some of which are available online through the Center for the Study of Intelligence, they say it this way. They say people do not naturally seek disconfirming evidence. Once an observer believes that he knows what's happening, his brain is going to tend to accept evidence that proves that and reject evidence that disproves it. And so in the investment context, what that means is your first reaction to a very well-spoken person talking about a profitable investment is that this person is who he or she says. The investment is at least going to try to do what they're representing. And so even if you set out to investigate that, you say to yourself, I'm not going to take that at face value. I'm going to work to confirm that this thing is legitimate.
All right, my guest. I'm sorry, Pat. I didn't mean to jump in. I just wanted to say my guest is Pat Huddleston. He's the author of the book, The Vigilant Investor. Pat, just give us some idea of, because we have these three biases, the types of the more popular scams that investors need to be aware of.
Today, you really have to be aware of promissory note scams. That is scams that say, hey, look, you're going to give me your money for a limited period of time. I'm going to give you a promissory note back that requires me to repay your principal and a certain amount of interest on this date. Those things are running amok out there, Bill. They are stealing tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars from Americans. They are hot right now because they seem to be safer and more stable because, you know, we associate a written contract with enforceability and interest with a conservative investment. And so in this time of volatility, when the market's up 500 one week, down 500 the next week, what people most crave is stability and safety. And so promissory notes are big. Now, when we get out of this hole and the market is running and setting new records, what people will most want, what they'll most fear, is that they're lagging the market, that they're not getting those big returns. And then you'll see hedge fund investments come back, right? Mm-hmm. So the fraud never flags. It never slumps. All they have to do is change what they promise you and what they propose to give you. And they always give you what they know that you most want. So in these days and times, you're going to get investments that promise 4%, 5%, right?
Right, but that would be a great return.
Oh, sure, it would be great. And it's enough to draw you to it. But if your only defense is if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Well, that's not such a high return that it's going to make you think, wow, that must be a scam. That's why we say only amateurs make it sound too good to be true. Merely competent, not even the top level, merely competent scam artists know enough to promise you a point or two above what you can get from a legitimate investment. So watch out for promissory note scams.
All right.
Always have to be aware of affinity fraud, the kind of stuff that takes place at churches. I tell people you got to have an 11th commandment, and that is never, ever buy anything that is pitched with even a subtle appeal to your faith. Your faith is about something much bigger and something of a completely different nature than your material investments. You cannot use one to work on the other, right? It's a completely wrong tool for analyzing investments. So you always have to be aware of affinity fraud.
All right. My guest is Pat Huddleston. He's the author of the new book, The Vigilant Investor. He's a former SEC enforcer, and he reveals how to fraud-proof your investments. Pat, what I liked about your book is you identify the five broad categories of scamsters that are out there. I thought that was very cool. But I guess the big question is, for people listening to the sound of our voice, where can concerned investors get more information on a particular company or a particular investment so they can be smarter about these things?
Well, the one resource that people need to know about and they usually don't know about is called PACER.gov, PACER.gov. And I tell people it's important because of those biases not to seek evidence of legitimacy. Instead, you have to look for fraud, right? And they're not the same things. They're not the same two sides of the same coin. You can look for legitimacy and just run into a bunch of supporting characters who are there to confirm legitimacy. But if you look for fraud, you might find it. On PACER.gov, you can search the docket of every federal court in the United States, coast to coast, for civil cases, criminal cases, bankruptcy actions. So if you find out the people behind this thing, get on PACER.gov, search their name, you'll be shocked. You may find that they were operating under a different name and that they have criminal convictions. You might find that they have a string of judgments from the previous deal that went bad. You may find that they have a history of bankruptcy. You would never look at PACER if you were trying to confirm legitimacy. You got to look for fraud if you want to find a fraud. So that. And then I thought we could probably wipe out 20% of all investment fraud losses if people would just call their state securities commissioner and ask whether this person is licensed to sell securities.
All right. Right? Then we're going to have to leave it there. My guest has been Pat Huddleston, author of the book, The Vigilant Investor. Pat, if people want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, they can read a sample chapter of the book and see what the reviewers are saying at TheVigilantInvestor.com.
TheVigilantInvestor.com. Pat, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.